I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're going to unveil a banner for a great season, and in a way, it's only the tip of the greatness iceberg, right? People are expecting more. They're looking for more, and I think genuinely should be. Why would you not be predicting the Celtics to win the title?
This no feels earthly like reason.
Unless Tiger versus the field.
Chris Porzingis is so important and he's injured or something, maybe. And that's one of the questions that we're going to ask here about this team, about the health of the bigs and everything. And we'll get into all the details and the weeds when it comes to what it's going to take to repeat as champions with the big target on your back. But the thing about it is, the Celtics, you're right. Like, Golden State, the year before they won the championship, they got knocked out in the first round. The year before that, both with Mark Jackson as the head coach, they lost in the second round. Before that, they hadn't made the playoffs for 5 years. So when they won that championship, it wasn't like, oh yeah, obviously here comes the dynasty.
Right.
And with the Celtics, they were in the conference finals 6 years. Like, they that's where they lived, basically. And they couldn't quite get there. And Jaylen Brown spoke to Stephen A. Smith. He talked about the expectations and sort of how close they came all those times, and how certain people wanted to blow up the team and they wanted to keep it together because they were on pace for something that they thought was going to be special. And listen, they did hold it together. They made some key additions, obviously, which I think you have to include that when you're talking about how this all went down.
They also made key additions along the way.
Right.
I think there were people that along the way thought the seeds of a dynasty might have been planted with past renditions of the Celtics. You know what I mean? Like, I almost think people were hoping that, built around Tatum and Brown, those were always sort of the centerpiece, although you're right, there were plenty of people that started to go down the road of, nah, that's not the centerpiece. You got to break it up. You got to trade one off. They're too similar. You can't win with them. The combination, blah, blah, blah.
I said that a lot of times, and it seemed like that was the case. They added around them, and they put a great roster together, and that team couldn't be stopped. But you can't tell me that they didn't come up short before that.
That was a team
that was favored over Miami. They were favored over Golden State. Like, they were the team that was expected to break through earlier than they did. And listen, I mean, it's not to take anything away from what they accomplished last year, but it's not like those years didn't happen. That's why a dynasty is now expected, because they were right there, and they were there through their formative years too, of these two young superstars in their early 20s, in their teens, really, if you're talking about Jason Tatum.
And now in
the conference final, and now they're in their prime.
Title
and now
winning
they're
prime.
Extended, and they're going to be here for a while, unless the new guy or girl, who buys the team ends up trading one of them. But let's hope that doesn't happen. But really, I mean, listen, they've set this thing up, and Wick Grosbeck drained that trust fund, and he's got right now, I'd say, the perfect setup here to repeat as champions and to be a dynasty down the road that wins 3-5 or 4-6, whatever it is. I mean, listen, I see some of these other teams, and we'll get to them as well over the course of the show, these other teams out there that tried to load up in the offseason. The Knicks, who you see tonight, which we'll get to. The 76ers, who Joel Embiid and Paul George are not playing tonight, which is typical for them, I would say. But really, this is a Celtics team that's still loaded, that retained just about everyone, didn't really have to add much, and I think is poised to go out and do the same thing they did last year. I don't see anything really standing in their way.
I don't either. And that, I mean, that's almost weird. Because I feel like inherently, as New Englanders, first of all, forget about sitting behind this microphone where people be like, you media, you can always find the negative or something. But also as New Englanders.
Give us time. It's opening night.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guarantee after tonight we'll have some details.
There'll be something.
You know what I didn't love last night? X, Y, and Z.
Peyton Pritchard missed a half-court shot before halftime.
Right.
And it was just, you know, he usually makes those, and I'm disappointed.
But doesn't this feel weird? I mean, the fact that you really have to work to come up with, heck, even Wick Grosbeck's like, and Porzingis looks good on the practice court. Like, there is nothing negative surrounding the coach. Everybody seems to be liking him more, not liking him less, as he wins and says weird things about death and imminent demise and things of that nature.
And really, they were all just dust in the wind. You know?
Yeah,
that's really,
like,
what it's all about.
So it's a weird spot, I feel like, for Boston. Because, I mean, you lived it to some degree with Brady and Belichick and the Patriots, but it was far more down the road.
Right.
I don't think Patriots fans felt that after 0-1. You know why? Because they didn't make the playoffs in 0-2.
Sure.
And I don't think they felt that in 0-2. In fact, in 0, they started to go down, they hate their coach and Lawyer Malloy. Like, when was the last time, if anything, it was probably the 0-7 Patriots that didn't come to fruition? Maybe
when
the 0-4 Patriots.
Okay, this is something, and that was in the middle of their 10 years where they didn't win anything.
Yeah,
so,
and it was the biggest disappointment that any sports fan in New England ever lived through.
I'd say it's that same kind of anticipation.
Yeah.
That same kind of super team, like, this is, who's going to stop you, what's going to stand in the way. And then I think 2014 when you got Revis and Browner, and then that team won another one in 2016. It's like, all right, here we go. And then that was a little bit different, I guess.
But it was an aging, like,
yeah,
felt like it was kind of Keep It Together, and not just the Robert Kraft documentary Keep It Together. Just
right.
Guys were aging, and there was a lot going on. Where this is, you have two. It was funny listening to the Stephen A. Smith podcast. Jaylen Brown was like, oh yeah, my 28th birthday means I only have 2 years left in my 20s. And it's like, no. You have 2 years left in your 20s. You have 8 to 10 years of prime basketball left in your career if you want to. And that was almost eye-opening. And that was one of the things that the defenders of the Celtics said all along. Oh, look back and see how old.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kobe was when he won, right. And look how old Jordan was when he finally broke through and won, and that's where these guys are. They're at the cusp or the beginning of that championship run in the NBA based on age and experience and all that. And I just think it's a weird spot for New England sports fans to just be almost universally optimistic and positive. Like, what's the fighting? We don't even have Brown versus Tatum anymore. It feels like
I know
everybody's just kind of settled in. Yeah, they coexist. They're both good. Who cares?
They shut everyone up. I mean,
right.
That's really what they wanted to do all this time, is stop all that talk about it. And there's a lot out there in that interview with Stephen A. Smith from Jaylen Brown about his relationship with Jason Tatum, which
Jason Tatum!
Very interesting. Thank you, Stephen A. By the way, we are broadcasting live from Big Night Studios next to the Card Vault at TD Garden. If you're a content creator looking for a place to record, you can do it right here. Book your time at bignightmedia.com. And this place is great, by the way. It's right by the North Station entrance and across from the Star Market there under the escalator. You can come on down, wave hi. And I do believe that Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett are around here recording their podcast upstairs.
Oh.
I heard that. I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Right upstairs?
But I did hear
like
that.
If I bang on the roof with a broomstick, they'll hear us?
Yeah, that's a pretty high ceiling, so I don't know if you'd
and
be
I'm
able
a pretty
to.
Short man.
Yeah, well, that too. But yes, I guess, yeah, I'm not sure. They may be coming down here later.
Hey, G,
we'll
you
see.
Up there?
We'll see if we can trick them into coming in and talking to us. Either way, that'd be very cool. Here's a couple of questions that I have for the Celtics going into this year, because you're right. You do have to sort of dig a little bit, but there's one thing that I think, and this is sort of, it's kind of cheap.
I should have known you'd find it.
Well, it's not that I found it. It's just that it's out there. Porzingis is not going to start the year. Al Horford at 38 years old is going to be your big, with Luke Kornet backing him up, and maybe Xavier Tillman, I guess, is the rotating big off the bench after that. And there's a way you can sort of look at it. There's a way you can look at that situation with Al Horford turning 38. And listen, Al Horford, I think, has still got a lot to offer. I don't think he dropped off too much last year. And with Porzingis and the times he was out, it didn't really seem like they missed him, right? Because of Horford and Kornet, everybody was playing pretty well. Kornet got rewarded with a one-year deal. And Horford's still here. He's going to be getting his first ring when they raise the banner tonight. And I just think that there's something to be said for the idea that if you were to point out a weakness when Porzingis is out there, it's hard to find it. When he's not out there and it's Horford rotating with Cornette, you can say, okay, that's maybe not ideal. Let's say the Horford breaks down a little bit. He's 38 years old. He's running around with these young guys. That's something that could reasonably happen. All of a sudden, you're stuck with Luke Cornette. Is that something that you think could pop its head up here in the early going while Porzingis is still recovering from the surgery?
Absolutely. Could it pop its head up?
Yeah. Sure.
But is it also possible that they just outscore that situation? That's also possible.
Absolutely.
Right? Like they have that ability to drain threes and to do things with smaller lineups and just... if you're looking for the concern, if you're looking for that layer of concern, that is that layer of concern. I did think it was interesting to see Anna Horford kind of questioning the graphic put out by the NBA, I believe, the fact that Al not on it.
Who was on it? I didn't see this.
It was the starting five
it was
minus
the starting
Horford.
Five.
I see.
And she's like, oh, who started half the games last postseason or something like that. I forgot exactly how she worded it, but she didn't love it. Not that that's a big deal or that that's going to be some divide.
She didn't even make a big deal. She was just like, nope. Not trying to be petty, but.
Yeah. And even Bill Belichick was like, kind of petty, Anna. So, yeah, just mentioning
it's
it,
petty,
but
I'm wondering why Al is often left out of these promos when he's the one who started almost the entire playoffs. You know, I mean, I don't know what other promo she's talking about.
But you know basketball, and you know what it takes to win. You can't help but to love Al Horford.
Because the starter is Porzingis, correct?
Right.
That's your starting five.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you wanted to put a graphic up with six because this is our deep rotation or whatever, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the way the NBA works, the way basketball works, is five guys are included in a starting lineup. And if you put a starting lineup out there, when healthy, Al Horford, not part of it.
The Celtics are so good that Anna Horford wondering why Al isn't in the promo is like a big dramatic story.
It's kind of the biggest
with
thing
the team
we got
right now. That's like the main narrative that we have. There's just not a lot else to really look at. I think this big thing could be an issue against certain teams. I don't think it's going to be something that sends them into a 10-game losing streak spiral or anything like that. But yeah, against the Sixers when Embiid's playing and it's not the second night of a back-to-back, or you know, some of these other teams with decent big against Jokic or whoever, against Karl Anthony Towns and the Knicks, who we'll see here tonight. It could end up being something, but listen, the main question, I think
we got fans from the Czech Republic.
All right, cool. Czech Republic, hello. I don't know how to say that in Czech, but it's nice to see you guys
checking in, if you will.
Yes, absolutely, as we are live here from again Big Night Studios next to the Carton Vault at TD Garden. Yes, there is a podcast being recorded upstairs. Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce are upstairs. You think we're cool? Those guys are upstairs right now recording something, so there you go. Also, another little thing. And this is something you brought up before you accused me of being negative.
Oh.
Has Jason Tatum fixed his shot or not?
I don't know. Did you watch all those videos? It was the
of him warming up at the Auerbach Center?
Yeah,
yes,
and it was like, oh, this one has the hitch and this one doesn't. And I was like, I don't know. They kind of look similar to me. I guess it doesn't go quite as low in his pre-shot mechanics or whatever. But that is a concern. Like, if you were going to find an actual basketball court, top of rotation,
right,
they're healthy, could something just go wrong? That would be a concern for me. But as you said, he's Jason Tatum.
He is.
I don't... The sane part of me doesn't expect that to be an issue.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.